Hi, it's Shayna here. Before this episode starts, I'm popping in with a quick reminder about our upcoming CEU on Thursday, May 16th, on a person-centered approach to behavior management. School taught us a lot about ABA. However, the thing with ABA is that it's a science and it's constantly evolving. So a lot of what we learned back then doesn't always apply now. Today, we want to use a person-centered approach to behavior management. But what does that look like, and how can our learners still make progress in this kind of approach? So join us live on Thursday, May 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as Shira discusses how to use a person-centered approach to behavior management with your learners. This CEU is presented by our very own Shira Karpal. You can earn one learning CEU for ACE, QABA, or IBAO. Join us live at this event, or to watch the recording asynchronously, go to howtoaba.com/CEU. See you then.
Hi, I'm Shira Karpal.
And I'm Shayna Gaunt, and we're board certified behavior analysts. At How2ABA, we provide practical resources, community, and support to ABA professionals. In each episode of our podcast, we will be having real conversations with real people sharing real stories about ABA.
We'll share relevant strategies and actionable tips that will make us all better ABA practitioners. It's the ABA content you need that you're not going to learn in a textbook. Hey, everyone. So on today's podcast, we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to talk about our recommended reading. So what's on your bookshelf? And we want to hear from you guys. So we'll share what's on ours, and then please go over and let us know what's on yours. And these are books that are not necessarily materials or resources, but just stuff that we recommend you reading, you know, just to become a better person, better behavior analyst.
So when I first started out in the field, it was 1997. And one of the main books that I was given was a Catherine Maurice book. And I actually refer to it as the Catherine Maurice Manual. I think it's actually called Behavioral Intervention for Young Children with Autism, a Manual for Parents and Professionals. It's by Gina Green and Catherine Maurice. And I think it came out in 1996. It was really our guide. It was before the ABLES, before the VBMAP, way before PEAK. And we would look to page, I can't even remember what page it was, but it said, here's all the programs and here's how they're written. And we would look to that, and that would be our guide. There was a lot on receptive language, expressive language, nothing or very little on requesting. But I recognize that, and I still go back to that a lot. I love that manual.
I think it was the first book you ever gave me also. In one of our first meetings, you said, this is what you need to read. And I was like, whoa, this is overwhelming.
And this is old, super old.
Yeah, there were no pictures. Okay, one of my books that I love referring to is A Work in Progress by Ron Leaf. I find that also in terms of programming really lays out a good outline of like what are those important skills that you need to build on. So it'll say like these are the prerequisite skills for this program. And once they've mastered this target, then you can move on to the next target. And it really helps to kind of conceptualize like that pathway in terms of programming and why you wouldn't start with an integral role before they have mastered search and requesting and tacting. So I like it. I find it's a very good resource, and it also includes some program descriptions.
Someone told me one time that a work in progress is a work in progress. Again, not recognizing the requesting piece of it, but it's still a really great manual up there, definitely with the Catherine Maurice manual. Sure, you like another one of Ron Leaf's
Yeah,
books
so another
too,
one
right?
He does similarly is called Crafting Connections, and that talks more about the social skills area. So it basically outlines a kind of a BST type model in terms of teaching social skills and how to use all those steps and the role play and the feedback and reinforcement to really shape social behavior. So that's a really good one.
One of my other go-tos is the Early Start Denver model. I teach a lot of young kids, and I get a lot of parents who come in, you know, their kids are 18 months to 3 years, and they're, you know, in the program for the first time and, you know, doing some parent coaching, and they always ask me, you know, what's your go-to book? And I recommend that for them. Now, there's a few different Early Start Denver model books. There's one for professionals, but I actually really like the one for parents. And I think it's called An Early Start for Your Child with Autism. And that's Sally Rogers and Geraldine Dawson and Lori Bitsmara.
Yeah. And I give that one not just to parents, but I'll give it to teachers, to professionals, to other assistants and things who work with kids, because it really does a good job of explaining how to get that interaction piece.
And it's really great. I always say, you know what, flip to part two. And part two is all about, they talk about the different techniques, but you can just read one chapter at a time, stop there. At the very end of the chapter, there's something called refrigerator tips. And you can take a look at just that, or you read the whole chapter, you take a look at that, which is a summary of the chapter, put it up on your fridge, practice that with the child before moving on to the next chapter. So it's a really easy read too for parents.
So one that I really like is called The Behavior Code, written by Jessica Minehan and Nancy Rappaport. I like it because I do find myself, having to deal with kids who go a little bit beyond like the typical functions of behavior, and they're being like anxiety or sexualized behavior or oppositional behavior. And they've done a really good job of taking like a mental health approach as well as a behavioral approach, and kind of combining them into how to write behavior plans for these kind of kids. And it focuses a lot on the proactive and antecedent strategies and setting them up for success and focusing on the relationship, as opposed to just being like, extinction and ignore. So I really like that. And they give you some really good ideas for actual behavior plans, as well as some data sheets. So it's a very good book. Highly recommended, The Behavior Code.
I love that book too, because it goes into talking about anxiety as well, and kids in the classroom situation. So things that aren't always explained by your, Cooper Howard Hewen or your Iwata or your Hanley. So it's really nice. It goes beyond that. And another book on that similar topic would be called Beyond Behaviors, and it's Mona Delahook. This one, as a behavior analyst, you have to read with an open mind. She really does, not in so many words, put down the field of ABA, but she does say, listen, guys, like, we have to go beyond what's the function of behavior. We need to be a little bit softer in our approach. And we also need to recognize that when people are engaging in negative behavior, it serves a purpose, not the four functions of behavior, but an actual purpose. Like, they're really trying to tell us that they're stressed out, or that they really don't like this, or they don't like that. And she offers a really unique perspective on it. So wear an open hat when you read that book, but it's fabulous mm-hmm. as well.
So another one that I actually stumbled upon with one of my own children was called The Kasdan Method, Parenting the Defiant Child. And it was recommended to me in terms of understanding how to understand the defiant child. And also it does a really good job of outlining how to set up a positive reinforcement system. I kind of don't like that it's even called Parenting the Defiant Child, because I think all parents really could benefit from it. And what I'll do sometimes is I'll have parents purchase a copy, and then we'll kind of go through it together, because it does the step-by-step of defining the behavior, talk about the positive opposites, how to incorporate a point system, a reinforcement system into your house. So I'll use that a lot for parent training in setting that system up. And I find that it does a really good job of breaking it down for parents.
Another book that does a really great job for breaking it down for parents is Leanne Page's book called Parenting with Science. It's a really easy read, stuff that you guys already know, but it's stuff that I'll go through and give to parents, or I'll look through it and say, hey, parents, let's do this chapter, or let's do this chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another one that I read recently is called Smart But Scattered, and it's all about kind of understanding those executive functioning deficits and how to help kids. It's not that they don't understand, and it's not that they're not capable, but they have different learning styles, and how can we use their different learning styles to bring out the best in them?
Yeah, I like that book too. It's got some visuals in terms of how to teach kids how to organize certain things and color coding systems and all the things that we could probably all benefit from. Going back old school again, another book that I really love, I'm like, what's that Partington Sundberg book? It's called Teaching Language to Children with Autism and Other Developmental Disabilities. It came out back in the 90s, 1998, when Sundberg and Partington published the very first ABLES. They also published this book with it. And I still actually review some of those chapters when I'm doing supervision with BCBA people. And it's wonderful. It goes through PECS versus sign. It goes through early requesting and imitation skills, etc., how to teach the beginner learner and all that type of thing. And it's really it's got really big font, which I like, but it's also a little bit old school, so you got to take that, but we all need to know the history too.
The next one is a little bit more technical. It's called Communication-Based Intervention for Problem Behavior by Edward Carr and Len Levin, which is a preliminary way to describe FCT, which I think is what we discuss now, in determining the function of the behavior and what is the behavior trying to say. And I think that they were kind of pioneers of that because this book is old. It's an older book and it goes through different functions of behavior. So it's kind of a dry read. It's very technical, but even for a teacher, you know, trying to understand what the student is trying to say by XYZ behavior, they give a lot of examples. They give a lot of case studies and scenarios so that you can kind of get a feel for how to determine the functions of behavior and then how to figure out what the replacement behavior is, which is often communication.
And what I really like about it is the examples. So, you know, there's parts in the book, some of it's pretty dry, but there's a lot of parts in the book that actually go through and, you know, it talks about, you know, Juan does this and blah, 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 and goes through and says, okay, now what can you do? And I actually still use that today in some of my staff training, some of those examples and walking staff through that. So it's a really, really great read if you're working with or even having to train people on functions of behavior and communication. Whew, we've gone through a lot. I would say there's a few other ones, and it's funny when we were creating this list, I'm like, you know, that one that talks about the visuals, you know, the one that we use and what's it called again? Anyways, I had to Google this one, but I love it. Visual Supports for People with Autism, A Guide for Parents and Professionals, and it's Marlene Cohn and Peter Gerhardt. So I call it the Visual Support Book. It's on my shelf at work, and it's great because it's got a lot of pictures and, you know, more pictures than words, and you flip through it and it talks about visual schedules and even mini schedules within those visual schedules. And like I said, it's just a really great visual to be able to show staff and to show parents in terms of, hey, this is what I meant. You know, that the thing I talk about sometimes, it's, you know, the pictures inside my head. It's also on page 32 of this book. So that book's a really great one too.
Were there any more?
Just trying to think about them. I've got a ton. I could probably talk about this forever and ever and ever. There is one more. It's called Early Intervention Games, and it's not necessarily an ABA book, but it's by Barbara Shearer, S-H-E-R-E. And it's not necessarily an autism book, but it's just really how to play with younger kids. And I love it because, you know, when I'm doing, again, you know, staff training or even parent coaching, you know, I can go through it and say, okay, well, here's some games that we can do, or if we're doing some social skills, here's some ideas for some social skills games that can, you know, increase play skills or increase interaction with other kids.
Yeah. So we could probably go on forever because there's so much out there. And like I said, we'd love to hear your suggestions for the books that you love, that you've read, tried and true, ideally. And so let us know. And we're constantly looking for more books. Like, we're still growing, we're still learning and reading. And as they come out, we would love to read them. So let us know. Thank you.
Thanks for joining today's conversation. Wherever you get your podcast, please go and subscribe, rate and review so others can find out about us too.
For more from How to ABA, including free resources and ABA materials, visit our blog at howtoaba.com. And make sure that you're following us on social media for more practical tips and updates.